But we'll begin in Amos chapter 4, verse 12. Amos chapter 4, verse 12. The Lord said, "Therefore, thus will I do unto thee, O Israel, and because I will do this unto thee, prepare to meet thy God, O Israel." Prepare to meet thy God, O Israel. Now this world is expecting somebody to come in the clouds with about the personality and disposition of Mr. Rogers. But that ain't who's coming. The one who's coming is the King of Glory.
Amen.
Who's absolutely perfect in holiness and truth. And righteous. And he will execute judgment in all its truth and righteousness. So, let's begin by looking at Romans 9:5. And the thought that I want to bring out of this is who's coming. That might be a good title for this, Who's Coming? Romans 9:5. It says, "Of whose are the fathers, and of whom, as concerning the flesh, Christ came, who is over all, God blessed forever. Amen." That's our Lord Jesus Christ. He is over all. God bless forever. Amen. Look at Acts 20. Now we're going to be going to a lot of places. Acts 20, 28. And of course the reason we go to all these places is because they're all worthy of going to, and because to validate what we have to say by the word of God. Because if what I say is just what I say, then it's worth little to anybody. But if it's the word of God, then it amounts to something. Acts 20, 28. "Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood." Our Lord Jesus Christ purchased his people with his own blood. He redeemed us at Calvary. And he redeemed all that he ever has redeemed at Calvary. And at Calvary he redeemed all who ever will be redeemed. His redemption occurred one time, and the Lord is not redeeming anyone at all today. You cannot be redeemed today. The fruits of his works of redemption can be made known to people in time. But redemption occurred at Calvary. He purchased his people with his blood. Call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. And they're his people because they were given to him of his Father in eternity past. Look at John 7 or John 17. John 17 and just a few verses here. We're going to read in John 17 here in a minute, but before that, in John 6:37, the scriptures say, "All that the Father giveth me will come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. All that the Father giveth him in time were given to him in the covenant of grace before the foundation of the world, according to God's eternal decree of election. God elected a people in Christ Jesus and set them apart," or sanctified them in Christ Jesus before the foundation of the world, "and gave them," God gave them to his Son as his spouse, and they are called out in time. God has known them and loved them from everlasting, but they're called out in time. Look at John 17:2. "As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many," just that many. How many is that? I don't know, but it's just that many. It's not all, it's that many. "That he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him." Look out down at verse 6. "I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word." Verse 9, "I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou gavest me, for they are thine." Verse 11, "And now I'm no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee, Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are one." Verse 24, well, let's stop by verse 20. Now, these things do not apply just to the apostles. They apply to everyone in whom the Holy Spirit will engraft the word of truth and give them faith to believe the scriptures. "By grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourself. It is the gift of God, and it is the gift of God by the hand of the Holy Ghost." He comes and teaches the people of God. "Thy children shall be taught of God, and great shall be the peace of thy children." John 17:24. "Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which thou hast given me, for thou hast loved me before the foundation of the world." Now, there again, "Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me." So it is a particular people who were redeemed with a particular redemption. He only redeemed those whom he did redeem, and they are those who the Father gave him in eternity past. Look at Jude. Jude 1. "Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to them that are sanctified," or set apart unto salvation in Jesus Christ, "to those," Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, "to them that are sanctified by God the Father," set apart by God the Father, "and preserved in Jesus Christ and called." Now, we were set apart unto faith and repentance and eternal life by God the Father before the foundation of the world, and we were preserved or kept safe in Christ Jesus from that time. That's good news. That's good news for sinners who in themselves are the enemies of God, will not come to God, are bound in themselves, considered as men in the flesh, are bound for a devil's hell. But God has set some of our race apart in the Lord Jesus Christ and is determined to bring them to glory, so determined that he spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all whom he sanctified, when he gave us to Christ. All right, now, let's turn to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1, verse 11. And we'll begin reading at verse 10. Now this is at the ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ after his resurrection and after he had appeared to the apostles in the day of Pentecost. This is the ascension. And verse 10, "And while they looked steadfastly toward heavens as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus." This same, very same. "This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven." Now, Scripture doesn't tell us who these men were. We can make all kinds of guesses, but it'd just be a guess. So we'll not even bother with that. But they did inform us of how it's going to be when the Lord returns. He's coming in similar manner as he, same like manner as when he went into heaven. Well, he went into heaven visibly. They watched him leave. Look at Revelation 1:7. So when he comes again, when he comes, what we call the second time, when he comes again, he's coming visibly. Verse 7, Revelation 1:7, "Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him. And all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him, even so, amen." Now, it's not going to be a light event when he comes. And like I said, it's not Mr. Rogers that's coming. It's the King of Glory. He's coming with power and great glory. He's coming with all his mighty angels. He's coming with the saints. And he's coming to make war and to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. Look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 7 and 8. And we'll begin reading in verse 6. Seeing, now he's coming visibly, and he's coming personally. Coming personally. It's that same Jesus that they nailed, or that this world nailed to a cross.
Yeah.
He's coming back.
Yeah.
Not another. And imagine the guilt of those who pierced him, and of those who don't know him, who have not owned him as Christ in his absence. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, we'll begin reading at verse 6. "Seeing it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you," that is believers, "and to you who are troubled, rest with us. When the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them who know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ." Now, to obey the gospel is to believe the gospel as the gospel is presented to us in the Scripture. To disobey the gospel is to not believe the gospel, or to alter the gospel to suit our personal prejudices and beliefs. You know, people say, well, that bunch of ghost church down there, they're pretty good folks, but they got a terrible belief. That's what they say about us. Well, that's all right. I'm glad I don't believe what they do. I know it ain't up to me. It's up to the Lord Jesus to bring me to glory. It ain't up to me to get myself there by my works, because it's not of works, lest any man should boast. By grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his own mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. It's not by what we do or what we don't do. It's not how good we are, how bad we are. What it is about is whether or not we have trusted and obeyed the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And to obey it is to believe it. Amen. Have you believed? That's a good question. Who hath believed our report? Isaiah says. Well, the ones who hath believed the report of the gospel are those who are taught of God. Isaiah 54:13 says, Thy children. Well, when did they become children? When the Father gave them to the Son. When was that? Before the foundation of the world. Thy children shall be taught of God, and great shall be the peace of thy children. And the Apostle John brought that into the New Testament like this. He said, they shall be all taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. How do you come? Empty. Don't bring anything. Come empty. Come naked. Come black with sin, come to the Lord Jesus to be cleansed and made perfectly whole. He's the Savior, we're not. He's the Savior, we are the saved. So our Lord is coming in the clouds. He's coming in flaming fire. He's coming with his mighty angels to take vengeance on them that know not God and obey not the gospel. And he's coming in power and great glory. Look at Matthew 24. Matthew 24, verse 30. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all tribes of the earth mourn. And they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. Now the tribes of earth, or the world, will mourn because they've not believed the gospel. Or they have perverted the gospel and made it something that it is not. Made it a free will gospel. Something that's up to you to do. Instead of what it is. The gospel of the sovereignty of God. Look at Luke 21:27. Luke 21:27. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. There's no way we can imagine what that will be. But you talk about a shock and an amazement and a terror and a fright that it's going to be to the men and women of this world who have taken God for granted, who have forgotten God, and gone on in this life like Christ wasn't coming back at all, even though he has promised that he's coming. And go back to Matthew again, Matthew 25. Thirty-one through 33. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats, and he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. We were set apart. The children of God were set apart in old eternity. And the gospel separates us from this world. Because you can't talk this gospel and talk to religious folks who know not the gospel very long until there's a controversy. So we're separated there. But there's coming a complete separation. When the people that God has chosen and revealed the gospel to will be set on the right, and others will be set on the left. So we're thankful for those things. Now then, with all these things in view, it would be good for us to know that the one we have trusted as Savior is the Savior that the Scripture sets before us. Because there's false gospel, there's a false Jesus, there's false teachers, and this world is following them.
Yeah.
The majority, there's just a very few of God's people who know the truth. The rest of men, the rest of the world has been fed a religious lie. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 4. For if he that cometh... Now there were false apostles going about in these days saying that the gospel, that the apostle Paul hadn't been with Christ and really wasn't to be really wasn't a authentic apostle, and therefore his words were not authentic either. They were, and the men who were doing this were false apostles. But he says here, if he that cometh, and that's who he's talking about, these false apostles of verse 13. Look at 2 Corinthians 11, 13. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostle of Christ, and no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore it is no great thing for his ministers to be transformed into the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. Paul says here in verse 4, if he that cometh to you, one of these fellows, if he comes to you, comes preaching another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if you receive another spirit which you have not received, or another gospel which we have not accepted, you might well bear with him. Paul said, I'm persuaded that you folks might listen to him, might receive him, listen to him, believe what he's telling you. That's what he's telling these Corinthians. But he's false. If he preaches another Jesus, if he preaches another Jesus, that opens another gospel. Look at Galatians chapter 1. Galatians 1, verse 6. I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that it calls you into the grace of Christ to another gospel, which is based on another Jesus, who is not sovereign Lord. I used to buy some supplies off of a fellow in Pike County, and he ran a big pipe supply up there. And so over the entrance, it had Jesus as Lord. But when you talk to him, he made expressions like, well, if you'll let him. He talked about a contradiction in terms. He's Lord if you'll let him be. He's Lord, regardless what we think about. Yep, and he does as he will, when he will, with whom he will, according to his will. Always. All right, let's move along. Now, so let's consider who your Jesus is. Who is he? Well, is his love almighty, powerful? Does it always achieve the good of the recipient of his love? Or may his love be thwarted and turned aside and not amount to anything? Now, people say that God loves all men. Well, most of men today are going to hell.
Yeah.
Because they haven't believed the truth.
Yeah.
Now, if it's true that God loves all men, then God's love is of little value. Because the most of those whom he loved are perishing.
Yeah.
But God doesn't love all men. Look at let me come back to where I'm at now, but let me just mark that. Psalm 5:5. The foolish shall not stand in thy sight. Thou hatest all workers of iniquity. Well, who are the workers of iniquity? They're everyone who does not believe the gospel.
Amen.
And more particularly, they are preachers of a false gospel, because they are the murderers of the souls of men.
Yes.
They're soul murderers.
Yeah.
They cause people to trust in a Jesus who's not real. Look at, turn on over in the Psalms to Psalm 53. Psalm 53, verse 5 again. There they were in great fear where no fear was, for God hath scattered the bones of him that encampeth against thee, against the enemies of Israel and of God. Thou hast put them to shame because God hath despised them. Now, it don't sound like God loves everybody. God does not love everybody. Yeah, it's a horrible thing to say. That's a horrible thing to say about God. That God loves every rapist, every murderer, every thief, every pedophile. God doesn't love all men. He loves his own. He loves his children of the covenant. Look at Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. And I want to read verses 35 through 39. Romans 8:35. Who shall separate us? And that's the children of God. It's not all the world. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Those whom God hath loved, Jeremiah 31:3 says, the Lord hath said unto me of old, yea, I have loved you with an everlasting love, therefore with loving kindness have I drawn thee. Whom God loves, he's always loved, always will love. He'll never forsake them, and he'll bring them to final glory. Look at 1 John 3:17. Now, I'm turning to this scripture because it proves that the love of God makes it imperative that God bless them. God blesses those whom he loves. Look at John 3:17. But whosoever hath this world's good and seeth his brother hath need and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? Well, he had it in his hand to help his brother. He saw the need of his brother, but he didn't give him help. So, he's saying there's no love of God in this man. Well, is the love of God in God? Of course it is. So when he sees his children have need, what's he going to do? He's going to bless them with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, wherein we are made accepted in Jesus Christ. All right, let's move along. Look at Revelation 1:5. Revelation 1:5. And to Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Everyone that the Lord Jesus Christ loves, has loved, ever will love, is the same group, and he has washed them from their sins in his own blood.
Amen.
Whom he loves, he washed. Same group. And he corrects his children. Look at Hebrews chapter 12. Out of love. Those of us who are parents know that we correct our children because we love them. Look at verses 5 through 8. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children, that is, the children of God. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither faint when thou art rebuked of him, for whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. Hallelujah. I'm glad to be chastened of the Lord, although it smarts. But I'd rather be chastened than to be a bastard and not a son. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealing with you as sons, for what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastening, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. The chastening of the Lord is because of his love to us. I'm moving along quick as I can here. Look at 1 Corinthians 11:32. 1 Corinthians 11:32. Now, why does the Lord chasten his children? It tells us right here. But when you are judged, you are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. That's the reason the Lord chastens his children, to correct us.
Amen.
Now, we can see right here that there is a world out there that is condemned. And that's not the world that God so loves. The world that God so loved is the world of those whom he chastens, who are his children.
Amen.
All right, let's move along here. Look at Romans chapter 4. Romans 4. Verse 16. Therefore it is of faith. What's it? Well, it's justification unto salvation and eternal life. Therefore, justification and therefore justification unto salvation and eternal life is, listen now, therefore it is our faith, that it might be by grace. Now, what is grace? Grace requires nothing from you. Grace gives you everything. But somebody said, well, now hold on, I know you got to repent. It's a gift to God. He freely gives you repentance. But you got to believe. It's the gift of God. Everything that God requires of his people, he freely gives them. Everything that he requires of them in a way of duty, he gives them freely in a way of grace. They don't deserve any of it. It's out of his own mercy and grace that he saves us. I've lost where I'm at. Thank you. Romans 4:16. Therefore it is a faith that it might be by grace. Listen to this now. To the end that the promise might be sure to all the seed. God's not playing games. He sent his son in this world to save his people from their sins. And he has got that job done. God hath saved us, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world was made. Therefore it is our faith that it might be by grace, unmerited favor, to the end that the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, not just to the Jew, but to them also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all, or all believers. And what about your Christ, your Jesus, and the purpose of God? Can his purpose be overthrown? Can you say, no, Lord, I'm not accepting your salvation, even though you want to give it to me? He'll make you willing. Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. Look at Psalm 135:6. Psalm 135:6. And we ought to be very glad that God will not allow us to turn away, because if He would allow us, we certainly would. We are those who will not. Psalm 135:6. Look at this. Whatsoever the Lord pleased, that did He in heaven and in earth and in all deep places, even in the hearts of men. He does it as He will. The king's heart's in the hand of the Lord. He turns it one way or the other. Look at Numbers 23:19. Numbers 23:19. God is not a man that He should lie, neither the son of man that He should repent. Hath He said, and shall He not do it? Or hath He spoken, and shall He not make it good? God is going to do according to His covenant and decree, which He purposed in Himself before the foundation of the world. Look at Isaiah 14:24. The Lord of hosts hath sworn, saying, surely, as I have thought, so shall it come to pass. And as I have purposed, so shall it stand. Now you know, the God of most pulpits today wants to do something. He's got a great plan for your life if you'll just let Him. That's stupid. He does as He will, always as He will, only as He will, with whom He will. And look at Isaiah 46:10. Declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times, things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. I have another section here, but it didn't take too long. I'll not go into that. But let me just briefly talk about it just a little bit. Look at 2 Timothy 2:1-4. I'm sorry, it's 1 Timothy. 4 and they say, who will have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth? They say, well, see, right there it says God wants to save everybody. Well, what that means is God will save everybody that He intends to save. Look at Revelation 5:9. We can see by looking at Revelation 5:9, whom God hath intended to save from everlasting. Revelation 5:9. And they sung a new song. That's the redeemed of earth. Everybody that Christ redeemed at Calvary. That's all the saved. And they sung a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain, and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. That's who all men are. That's some of all sorts of men. Now look back over at Timothy, and you'll see that as it's written here in 1 Timothy chapter 2. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercession, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority. Well, are we not supposed to pray for those? Everybody's not a king. Everybody's not in authority. But we are to pray for all sorts of people. For all kinds of people of every level, of every strata of society. Whether they're the king or the common folks out there, we're to pray for them. You don't know all people. All men.
There you go.
But you know some of all sorts. Mm-hmm. And it's who he saved is some of all sorts. Mm-hmm. Out of every kindred, out of, not everybody, but some out of every kindred, tongue, nation, and people. This is good and acceptable in the sight of God, who will have all men to be saved and come to the, or all sorts of men, come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. Look at Galatians 3. Twenty-seven through twenty-nine. For as many as of you have been baptized in Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. But all one in Christ Jesus. All of his people are one in the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you be Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Now, it behoove us, preacher included, seeing the time that now it's high time, the time is late, and I believe God's winding this thing up, that we open our hearts and our minds and determine, is the Jesus that I serve, is he the Lord Jesus, or is he just Jesus? Is he Lord, or does he want to be Lord? Let's turn to number one. And let's all stand. Let's sing this song. Worship the King, all glorious above, and gratefully sing his power and his love. Our shield and defender, the Ancient of Days, pavilion in splendor and girded with praise. Oh, tell of his might, oh, sing of his grace, whose robe is the His chariots of wrath, the deep thunder clouds form, and dark is his path on the wings of the storm. Thy bountiful care, what
tongue can recite. It breathes in the air, it shines in the light. It streams from the hills, it descends to the plain, and sweetly distills in the dew and the rain. Frail children of dust and feeble as frail, in thee do we trust, nor find thee to fail. Thy mercies how tender, how firm to the end. Our Maker, Defender, Redeemer, and Friend.
Our Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day. And we thank you, Father, for your gospel. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your darling Son who came here, Lord, and purchased us with his own blood. Go with us from this place, Lord. May we meditate upon your words and sink in there. May they sink into our hearts. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. We are dismissed.